welcome to the Hope for the Hour show. This is a live show that is brought to you from Calvary Chapel, Cape Cod, down here in Sandwich, Massachusetts. We also have a location in Yarmouth. And tonight we have Pastor Seth with us. Why don't you say hi to the audience today?
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Good to be here with you all.
And Pastor Forrest, who's usually here with us on Thursday nights, he is actually still doing Renew FM business. He is out in Western Mass, and he is one of these guys that will climb towers to fix antennas and do great things to keep these broadcasts going out over the airwaves for people to hear and learn and be encouraged by Jesus Christ, his word, both in teaching and in song. And also, in this way, we're here tonight to minister to you, not just in God's word, which we will do tonight. As you've been, if you've been following with us on Thursday nights, we've been picking psalms from here and there throughout the book of Psalms. And
we were picking them from the Bible.
What's that?
I thought we were picking psalms from the Bible. I didn't know it was from here and there.
From here and there, within the Bible, from the book of Psalms, from here and there and everywhere. There's some Lord of the Rings thing in there, but I can't think of it. But we're here, and we are going to be going through Psalm 23 tonight. So open your Bibles to Psalm 23. Fire up your tablets. Open up your phones. If you've got a Bible on your phone or your tablet or your laptop, or good old leather and onion skin paper is good too. Open up your Bibles to Psalm 23. It's six verses tonight, and we're going to make our way through Psalm 23. But we're not only just going to do Psalm 23. We are also here impromptu at any moment. You can give us a call or text at 508-901-9673. Once again, I'm going to say that a bit slower. The phone number that you can call in at or text is 508-901-9673. 508-901-9673. Hopefully you got that number down. You can call or text at any time with your prayer request or any Bible question you may have. And we will do our best to pray for you and answer your Bible question, hopefully by the work and power of the Holy Spirit tonight. So that being said, I want to open us up in prayer. And then, Seth, why don't you start to maybe introduce Psalm 23 after I pray.
Sure.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to be with everyone who is joining us on the airwaves tonight, to be in God's Word together. And Lord, I pray it's a time of interaction with God's Word between Seth and I, between ourselves and the people who are out there listening. We pray for people to call in and to text with their prayer request. We can just go before the throne of God with those and cast our burdens and cares upon you, Lord, and give you worship and glory. And also, Lord, if there's any Bible questions, Lord, I pray by your Spirit you'd help us to answer those with clarity and being true to your Word. And also, Lord, may you give us revelation and insight to give us strength and courage and transformation in our hearts as we delve into Psalm 23 tonight. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor Seth, what are you thinking about Psalm 23? Just come from an introductory perspective.
Yeah, just thinking of Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's one of the most well-known psalms, I'd have to say, that people that don't know psalms very well would say, I've heard of that one. That one's familiar. And it's really a psalm of life. Though it's one of the most quoted psalms at funerals, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But it really isn't a psalm about death. It's a psalm about life. And it can often be called the he and me psalm.
He being... Explain that to me.
Well, sure. He being Jesus, me being us, ourselves. It's really a psalm about Jesus and me walking with our great shepherd. I mean, as you know, the shepherd here is Jesus, and the sheep, well, that's us. If you know anything about sheep, they're not the smartest of animals at all. In fact, sheep are the least self-sufficient flock animal on the face of the planet. They can't survive without a shepherd. I love that comparison in that Jesus in John chapter 10 talks about how he is the great shepherd and we are his sheep. It's just a beautiful psalm about our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, and how we can walk with him, what he does for us, how he walks us through life, through the beautiful, wonderful, flourishing parts of life, and through the arid, dry, difficult valleys that seem like a shadow of death upon us.
So first of all, I hear what you're saying in there, Seth. So are you saying that this is another Psalm of David?
I am saying that. It is another Psalm of David.
Okay. So we got another Psalm of David here. And so one of the things, you know, David, if you're going to take a guess at who wrote the Psalms, you know, saying David wrote it is a great guess because he wrote many, many, many Psalms. More than half of them, I'm pretty certain about. And then, you know, I like what you're saying. So here we're going to have this this shepherd, the Lord being the shepherd of his people. And as we walk through this, it is a song about life. You know, Yes. It is so much about life and how life for sheep is really so dependent upon, derived from the shepherd. It's a life from dependence and dependence from a shepherd. I did a message on this at one point, and it's from a shepherd king, the King Jesus. We got a picture of Forrest up on a tower or something. Aha. Pastor Forrest's wife, Diane, just stopped in. He's showing us a picture of the tower that Forrest is on.
So you can, if you're listening right now and you listen to Christian radio, and if you're listening, you obviously do, would you pray for Pastor Forrest and his crew? I don't know if he's got his boys with him or not, but they're up on a tower, so pray for them. Bring a new radio.
Why don't you do that right now, Seth? Pray for Pastor Forrest up there on that radio tower.
Lord, I pray for Forrest and whichever son he's got with him today, Lord Jesus. Would you protect them and keep them? Keep them locked into each and every rung on that, you know, 100, 200, 300 foot ladder. And I thank you, Jesus, for their heart and desire to serve our community by bringing Christian radio. And I thank you, Lord, for Renew FM and for George Small and the flock up there and their heart to continue to bring us Christian radio. So we praise you, Lord, for all these things. And would you get Forrest and the boys down nice and safe today? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So once again, if you are joining us, we are in Psalm 23. And you can call or text in with your questions or prayer request at 508-901-9673. And we're calling this Hope for the Hour with Pastor Silas and Pastor Seth. I'm Pastor Silas. You just heard Pastor Seth. And now you know Pastor Forrest is high in the sky on a tower keeping Christian radio functioning well. Psalm 23, you know, I like what you said, too. I was just kind of picking up on one of the things that you said as far as a psalm is a song. And, you know, I remember watching the Top 40 Countdown.
Casey Kasem
and listening to the Casey Kasem, the Top 40 Countdown and all that stuff. Used to wait for Saturdays to listen to the countdown. And the Psalm 23, I would say, is arguably the most famous song of all time.
Right.
This, and I think it is the most famous song of all time because, like you said, it often is recited, sung, heard at people's deathbed, but that's because of the great desire and hope for life beyond this world. And this is a song that not only talks about having life here and now, but also here and forevermore with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Hey, I'm going to read it all the way through, and then we'll start making our way through. So Psalm 23 says this: "The Lord, the shepherd of his people, a psalm of David." Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's that everlasting life we were talking about. And if you've ever been around Calvary Chapel, Cape Cod, the founding pastor, Pastor Tony Marinelli, he used to sing that song in worship. And every time I hear that psalm, I hear that version of it in my mind's eye.
I do too.
I guess that's my mind's ear, not my mind's eye.
I could hear his Ovation guitar playing right now.
Yeah, cranking it out. Love Pastor Tony. Miss him. I can't wait to be with him in heaven someday. So let's begin in verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Man, I love this because that's, if you're reading your Bible, that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. What does that tell us? Why do they do that capitalization of the Lord there, Seth?
Sure, they're letting us know that this is Yahweh. It's Jehovah. It's the great I am, the creator of everything.
Yeah, right on. This is God the Father. This is God the Lord. And here David is sharing in his song, this hit song, he's saying, the Lord God, the Yahweh, is my shepherd, I shall not want. So David, right here from the get-go, see, a lot of people think God is distant, is unrelatable, is far away, is impersonal. And here we're finding right from David's heart, right off the bat, that God is actually incredibly personal, very concerned about our lives, and very personal and intimate. A shepherd's relationship with sheep is one of a very close knowledge of each other. Mm. You look like you're about to, you got some input there.
I do have some things on my mind. You're right. Yeah, the shepherd, I mean, they say that shepherds who really have sheep, and they know every one of their sheep distinctly by name. I remember there was an old story about some shepherds that were on a train, and they were traveling through the countryside, you know, nearby their homeland where they're normally from. And a shepherd looked out into a field, and he said, those are my sheep there. The guy looked at him and says, what do you mean? He says, well, I sold a flock of sheep a couple of years ago. Those are them. He says, how can you tell? They're all just white and fluffy, dirty-looking sheep. He says, I know my sheep. I'm telling you, those are my sheep. I love that a shepherd knows his sheep.
Shepherd knows his sheep. And an interesting thing about a shepherd with, or sheep without a shepherd, and you alluded to it, and it always kind of, I think, rubs us the wrong way because, you know, as you shared, the most vulnerable animal on the planet is basically sheep, you know? They aren't known for being the most wise beasts. They aren't known for being the most resourceful beast. They are, you know, basically without a shepherd, they are destined for their own personal destruction. I grew up on my early childhood years. I grew up on a farm up in New Hampshire. It's my grandparents' farm. It's called Miracle Farm. And I have in my mind's eye, I have a very vivid recollection of the sheep up at my grandparents' farm when I was little, because my grandfather was getting on in years and he could no longer tend and care for the sheep, and he was basically their shepherd. And so the sheep became neglected, and as they became neglected, they became they were regularly sick. There, because they never were washed and shorn, or, you know, they take out the sheep shears and shave them down, because they were never taken care of in that way, they just continued to get dreadlocked, and there was feces embedded in their wool. There was brush and branches embedded in their wool. There was the wool just dragged across the ground. And, you know, I was actually thinking about it today that, you know, if anyone were to look at them, that my grandfather probably could have gotten in trouble for neglecting his animals. They were that bad off. And I just remember also just how they were scared of everything. You literally could not get within 75 yards of them. And one of the other things I noticed is they were very, in their panics of being skittish and scared, they would also be self-destructive, and they were so easily spooked. And if you ever watch sheep, they get spooked, and they'd all, no one really know what to do, so they'd all run one way. And as they run, they do things that scare themselves, and then no one really knows who's leading. And so then one just panics and runs the other way, and they just look like ping pong ball pack running around the back mat pasture, and they're, you know, it's just the picture of chaos and them being vulnerable to getting hurt and the anxiety going through the roof. And what was the problem? There was a missing shepherd. There was a missing shepherd. And David said, I will never have a missing shepherd because the Lord is my shepherd. And I never end up in a place of want, in a place of need, in a place where I can continue to go down a self-destructive path or live neglected and untaken care of, especially in the depths of my soul, as long as the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not, what?
Want. Also says, I shall not lack. You know, you can look up that Hebrew word. Don't know what it is, but it also means I shall not lack. Because I know in my own flesh, I think if I shall not want, that means, well, I'm going to have whatever I want. I'm just going to have everything. All the pleasures in life are going to be mine. But I think it's a little bit more clear when I think of it this way. I shall not lack in any good thing. I shall not lack any great thing that the Lord has for me. I may still have wants and desires, but not necessarily, not the desires that I want and cling to that aren't going to bring me closer to Jesus. I love that he says, you shall not lack any good thing. Remember when they called Jesus the good teacher? Why do you call me good? Jesus alone, God himself, Jesus alone is the great thing that we ultimately desire. So I know that the Lord is my shepherd. If I'm following after him, I can't have any lack or want because he's with me and I'm with him. I love that David, he understood that quite well. David understood sheep and shepherds, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. You know, just as you're talking, Seth, you're kind of making me think because, you know, a lot of people could hear this verse. You know, we've heard it at the funerals. This is, like I said, it's plastered on people's walls and refrigerators with magnets and you name it. You can find the Psalm 23 all over the place. And you can see the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. My pantry is bare, or you know, the car is on the fritz, or right now I'm collecting unemployment or whatever it may be. And I love the Lord, but I don't know about you, but I'm sensing some want. I'm sensing
right.
some need here.
Right.
I'm sensing like there's God's not really this Lord is my shepherd thing's not working out so well. Is it really true? And what I found is the Lord the one who puts your heart in the midst of all that to be content. And contentment, satisfaction. And there's a little trickiness to this, and you alluded to it, Pastor Seth. You don't go to the Lord looking for satisfaction and looking for contentment. You go to the Lord for the Lord.
There's a golden nugget right there.
Yeah, when you go, you know, I love how Pastor Forrest, he said it recently. He goes, it's a good way to start, but it's not the way you want to stay, you know? You can go to the Lord for contentment. You can go to the Lord seeking satisfaction. You can go to the Lord saying, I want to be in a I shall not want place. And if you expect it to be finances, if you expect it to be security, financial security or relational security or popularity or, you know, whatever it may be, you're going to him to get something. And that is where actually you'll find yourself continue to bounce in and out of contentment, because he's not promising to give you contentment physically. He's promising content powerly, content with pleasure. He's promising to give you content by spirit. And that happens when you go to the Lord for the Lord himself. And there's a relationship. You go to the shepherd for the shepherd himself and who he is and what he will do and how much he cares for you. The rest will follow after.
It will.
The satisfaction and the contentment.
It also says that, you know, you can say that I shall not want means It's like a declaration, and it's a decision too, right? It's fact and it's finding the truth. I shall not want can mean all my needs are supplied by the Lord, my shepherd. And it could also mean I decide to not desire more than what the Lord, my shepherd, gives. I like Philippians 4:19. It says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I don't know about you, but I would much rather have the Lord being the one supplying my need according to his riches as opposed to me supplying all my need according to my riches, because his are so much more glorious. And you already said, Silas, that the greatest richness is finding richness in the Lord, not in the blessing around him. And I think that's a real sign of spiritual maturity. Mm. When you get to a place, like you said, if you're coming to the Lord because you want your financial needs met, you want to be happier, you want a little more joy, that's okay. Keep coming to him. But as he opens your eyes and you choose and allow yourself to see the beauty of who Jesus is, all of a sudden, the blessings of being around him pale in comparison to keeping your eyes focused on him, because he truly is glorious. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack.
Yeah, we talked about this weekend. We're going through the Gospel of Mark on Sunday mornings, and we talked this weekend about true love and fake love. And fake love is a love that blesses another for the sake of receiving back in desiring to gain contentment, satisfaction. And it's conditional, because you're only giving as long as you're getting. And it's also that it's not very vulnerable, because you are expecting at some point it won't return. So you don't put yourself totally out there, because you need to save some of yourself for yourself.
So that's the fake love.
That's fake love.
Okay.
True love is agape love, or unconditional love. And it is a love that gives just for the sake of giving. It gives because its greatest joy is the joy of the recipient. Your greatest happiness is the happiness of the recipient. You give unconditionally. You expect nothing back. And it's also extremely vulnerable, because it's more important that you put yourself totally out for the other person's happiness than your own. So even if it doesn't return, that's not going to stop you from giving that true love. And the truth is, we only get true love from the Good Shepherd.
I was just going to ask you that. Yeah. So I was going to say, so how do I get this agape love? How do I actually love unconditionally? Is that something I work hard at?
It is a gift to be received from Jesus Christ. He is the only one. God demonstrates his true love, his agape love, his unconditional love, his completely vulnerable love. He laid it all out on the cross. That's how he demonstrated his love for us. He unconditionally died for us. He died while we were still sinners. He poured himself out totally unto death, received the judgment of the Father upon himself. And it was a declaration of, I love you, Seth. I love you, Silas. I love you, listener. That is amazing, true love. And it is I heard a song yesterday. The hole in our heart is stupid deep, right? But his love is stupid, crazy love, you know? I mean, it's just so, it's the only love that can fill that stupid deep hole in our heart. And that's all long and hunger for it.
I'd say that's a shepherd I would follow and do follow. That's a shepherd you can follow. And make no mistakes about it. I mean, we like to think that we're self-sufficient and self-made men or women. But really, we're all followers. We follow somebody or something. Bob Dylan said it, right? You've got to serve somebody. We're all followers of somebody. Who would you rather follow? Jesus? A shepherd that would die for you and give you an incredible agape, unconditional love? Or the ways of man in the world today?
Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm going to go to just remind people, if you're joining us tonight, this is Hope for the Hour with Pastor Silas and Pastor Seth and Pastor Forrest usually, but he's on mission tonight. And if you have a prayer request or Bible question, you can call or text 508-901-9673. 508-901-9673. And I actually got a prayer request here from Marty. And the prayer request is to pray for Michelle and Todd, who are both recovering from surgery. So I got it. Dear Heavenly Father, we do lift up to you right now Michelle and Todd. who are both recovering from surgery. And Lord, I just pray your presence would be with them. I pray you would bring people into their lives who can help them, Lord, and minister to them as they do recover from surgery. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to just have a peace in their heart where they can rest and let the body heal as you, God, have designed it to heal. And then I also pray that you could give supernatural healing on top of all of that. And we pray for a quick and full recovery, Lord, yes, for Michelle and Todd, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Someone sent here, I'll give credit, is actually Pastor Forrest, Diane Farrell. She sent in a quote from Philip Keller. Philip Keller writes these great books, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And thank you, Diane, for getting this for us. The quote is this: contentment should be the hallmark of my life as I put my affairs in the hands of God. That should be, like, when people look at us as sheep of the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ, one of the things that should be like almost like a pin that we wear, but it's not a literal pin. It's an identifier. Why are you so content? Why are you not striving? Why do you not have the ambitions of the world? Why is your ambition the love of God, to know God, to seek God, to know his presence, and to share God with others and have contentment and all other things? It's because we put all of our affairs, the things of life, in God's hands. You know, we know that a sparrow doesn't fall out of the sky. He doesn't know about it. He knows the hairs on our head. He clothes the field with the lilies, with the beautiful flowers. And will he not take care of us? You know, no. It's like, don't worry about it. Mm. Be comforted and secure in the care of the Good Shepherd.
So we only have 6 verses tonight. At this rate, we'll get it done in 3 hours.
Yeah, there we go.
But that's okay.
Hey, it's a full psalm. Hey, so we're on to verse 2. Wow. Yes, Seth. I think we need to kick it into second gear. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me besides the still waters. I love this. Our shepherd paves the way. You know, it's such an amazing thing that that the God of this universe is involved in our lives, that he will be a personal guide to our lives. He will lead us. He will show us where to go, where not to go. He'll show us how fast to go. He'll show us when to stop. He'll show us where there's danger, and he'll show us where it's safe. All of these things that a shepherd does for sheep, he will do for us. So I love this. First, he says what he's going to do, he's going to make us lie down in green pastures and leads us besides the still waters. He knows when we need to move. He knows when we need to eat. He knows when we need rest. He knows when we need to hustle. What are you thinking, Seth?
You know, it says that he leads me makes me to lie down in green pastures here. And, you know, the picture I get, when I remember teaching on this, and I'm a picture guy, right? I can still see the picture in my mind. I pulled up this slide, and it was a beautiful, amazing green pasture with these sheep in it, and it was just beautiful. And I asked everybody, it's beautiful. Look at this scene. I said, guys, this is New Zealand. This isn't Israel. The next slide that I had showed really like the Judean area of southern Israel, which I've hitchhiked through before, and it's just arid desert land. It's dry. The green pastures there are really, there's these rocks with little tufts of grass that come up, right? There's not much rainfall.
So it's not like Ireland or Scotland, where we think of just green clover and beautiful grass.
No, not unless you're in the far north of Israel, but you know that Israel is an entire country, right? So in the south, it's dry, it's arid. The green pastures, in fact, in much of Israel are these little rocks that have tufts of grass growing because the wind blows, humidity forms and on the rocks, and the precipitation drops down and these little tufts of grass grow. So you have a very different picture. Like when I think of green pastures and lying down in them, I think of like belly deep alfalfa sprouts, you know, like the men at the Brazilian grill feasting and just gorging themselves. But really the idea here, if you take a look at what goes on in Israel and the sheep, is that they're going from tuft of grass to tuft of grass, only finding their food because the shepherd is leading them there. And it gives you this sense of daily bread, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like the Lord's not going to just supply us. Here you go. Here's your year's supply. He says, each day, as you follow me, I'm going to lead you beside these, into these green pastures. And can I, give me another second, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Pastures here, the word is nave, perhaps, which is, it means, you know, tuft of grass for sure. But another translation or way of defining this word pasture is home. It's a dwelling place. And I found that really interesting. I'm not going to mess with the Hebrew on this because I'm not a Hebrew scholar. Don't get me wrong, right? But when you look at this, he makes me to lie down in green homes and houses. Where is it green and abundant? The Lord is my home. He says, I will make a home in your heart and I will be your home. And that shepherd, he's our home. Those are the green pastures I want to lie in the presence of God.
Amen, amen. You know, I've been to Israel myself too, and when you get those moments, and sometimes I wonder if they're staged for us tourists, but you know, one of those sheep out there. But I remember being on a tour bus going through the, you know, down into the Jordan River Valley, and seeing sheep on the roadside with a shepherd, and man, it does. It looks like they're eating rocks. Just looks like they're chowing down on rocks. Those amazing sheep are eating rocks. But it's exactly like you say. It's actually the shepherds are taking those sheep to places to eat. But the fauna for food is scarce.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually takes, like you said, the knowledge of, you know, where's the humidity condensing on the rocks? Where's the flow from the streams and the tributaries and all that stuff? And where is the most likely place based on the weather patterns that they're going to find some sprouted grass to eat? And that's those pastures are moving and not consistent. And it takes listening to and following a good shepherd to those green pastures.
That's right, because the sheep aren't going to find it on their own, right?
No, they'll actually start eating rocks. So once again, we're in Psalm 23, Pastor Seth, Pastor Silas, and Hope for the Hour. If you want to give us a call or text, 508-901-9673 for your Bible question or prayer request. Verse 3 goes on to say, he restores my soul and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I love this. Restores my soul. He brings it. He, the Lord, when you submit yourself and don't stop trying to be super sheep, right? Stop trying to be independent sheep. Stop trying to be self-sufficient sheep. Because all of those things, when you're a selfish, self-centered, trying to do it your way sheep, you're going to find out that that's very self-destructive. And it's very self-destructive, especially to one's soul. The soul starts to disintegrate. The soul starts to fall apart. You know, some people are prone to anxiety and panic attacks more than others, but I can guarantee you seek out the Lord, submit your life to the Lord. They will happen less because the Lord will bring restoration to your soul, bring back to full health. And what's the pathway to a restored soul?
You know, the interesting thing is I know as a young teenager, a young man, I was looking for that pathway to restoration. I didn't know it. Every avenue that I went down led to more and more destruction, more and more disappointment, false senses of hope and security. And until I found the Lord Jesus Christ and I opened my eyes to him, not only did I open my eyes to him and just believe in him, but said, I will let you be Lord of my life. Please come into my heart and forgive me. My soul was restored through Jesus Christ.
So what's the R word that you just explained?
Restore?
No, what's the R word that you just explained? You just gave a testimony for this R word.
You're going to have to tell us.
Oh, come on, Pastor Seth. I know you know it. Repentance. That's a bit of it. This is like Sunday school, right? Repentance. Answer. Jesus Christ, repentance, love, grace, you know.
And then restoration.
Yeah, repentance. People are so, it's so hard in our pride to say, I'm wrong. I'm going the wrong way. I'm going the wrong direction. I'm a sheep on the run. I'm getting more skittish and scared every day that I run from you, Lord. and to just finally stop and turn and listen for the voice of the Lord. And shepherds, you know, one of the things I've learned about shepherds too is shepherds and sheep, one of the most important things is eye contact. It's eye contact.
Really? Interesting.
The shepherd often will make sure that he keeps himself a bit higher than the sheep so that he can maintain eye contact with anyone at any given moment. Because they know that if they see the eyes, there's a connection, and then that makes sure that communication stays open. And if you're running away from the Lord, guess what? You're not having eye contact.
Right.
But you repent. It literally means to turn around. Get eye contact with the Lord and then listen. And let him do his guiding and leading to still waters, to pastures. Let him lead you down the path that you're supposed to go, and he will restore your soul. You know, it says right there, he leads me in paths of righteousness. Paths of righteousness. Righteousness are the paths that you are meant to go down in your life because they are designed for you by God to be the correct path for your life. And, you know, the only way to stay on a path of righteousness is to listen to the Lord and follow the Lord no matter how hard it gets, no matter how dangerous it looks, no matter how you may look at the path of the Lord and sometimes say, I can't do that, or there's just no way. And I was just thinking about this, about the paths of righteousness, following the Lord. You know, I had another incident. You know, I was in the Army back in the mid-90s, and I was deployed to Bosnia. And one of the things that there was a lot of in Bosnia was there was a lot of shepherds and sheep still going all over the place.
Really?
You know, it's phenomenal. And I remember we would go around, and once again, we had guides because we were there and we didn't know our way around. So we'd have local guides that would walk us around or drive us around. And one time we came across a shepherd and sheep, and the guy pointed out to me, he says, you notice how close those sheep are to that shepherd, and they're all staying right on his heels? I said, no, I didn't notice that. He goes, this is why. He goes, what do you know what the biggest problem right now in our country is? Landmines.
Wow.
And the sheep knew that the safest place was to be right on the heels of the shepherd, staying close, staying tight, and staying behind, and letting the shepherd lead, because they knew the shepherd knew the safe paths that would lead to safety and life. They were the right paths to go down. And I was just thinking about it. A lot of times what happens is we will get to a place and we're following the Lord, and the Lord will take us down a narrow path, a difficult path, a path that looks like I might break my ankle, I might fall off that cliff edge, I don't have the strength to make it up that precipice, and the choice is there before you, and you can see off to your right and your left an easier path, a wider path, a path that looks safer.
But what's in those paths?
A path that a whole bunch of other sheep are going down, right? And there's a way that seems right unto men, but its end is destruction.
Right.
And the Lord, the good shepherd, says, listen, listen to me, little sheep Silas. If I take you down this path, it may look too hard. It may look too difficult. It may look too painful. It may look, everyone who else is going down the wide path may say to you, you fool, you'll die going down that path. You fool, what are you thinking? I guarantee you follow Jesus, he will see you through that difficult path, and you will find out that that was the right path that led to life, that led to green pastures, that led to soul restoration, that led to still waters where there was refreshment. Even though the path may be hard, the path will be right if you follow Jesus. Any thoughts, Pastor Seth?
Yeah, and you know, when I think of the word righteousness, my brain starts swirling of, you know, Sunday school and hearing people talking about you're, you know, self-righteous so-and-so, right? When I think of righteousness, instead of coming up with a theological definition of righteousness, all I can think of, and I'm just a simple guy, but all I can think of is Jesus alone is the righteous one. And you already mentioned it. We're talking about a shepherd here, right? Jesus being that shepherd. I love that illustration you just gave, Pastor Silas, about how the sheep stick close to the shepherd to avoid the landmines. Jesus not only does he show us the path, he is the path. He is the way, the truth, the life, and he alone is the righteous one. It's not by my righteousness and right living, right decisions, and figuring everything out that I'm going to avoid the landmines, because I'm going to mess it all up, even as a Christian. Yes, I want to walk with the Lord. Yes, I want to honor his word and do the things he calls me to do. But even greater than that, I just want to be close to him, because I can't figure out where all these landmines are. And there's an awful lot of landmines, life landmines, that seem to be placed in our path today, right now, 2020. There's a lot of land. How about you? You that are listening, does your life feel like there's a lot of landmines? One of my guys called me from work. He texted me on my way here saying, I hit a landmine. I went to leave work. I don't know if I can make it here tomorrow. My car just died. I don't know what I'm going to do. There's a lot of landmines that hit us. And Jesus, following him and after him, even when it doesn't make sense, like Pastor Silas said, this way looks like it's great. Oh, no, it's filled with landmines. Follow the righteous one, Jesus alone.
Amen. And he even says, for his namesake.
Yeah.
Like, he's putting his name on it. You know, it's not like, here, do this, and if it doesn't work out, well, it's no worries. My name's not on it. Mm. It's like, no, it will be counter. Oftentimes, it's countercultural. It's counter what is sometimes even might say logical. It's counter. You know, it's going maybe against just what is easy or what everybody else is doing. But the Lord says, you do this following me. You can even put my name to it, that it will work out for restoration of soul. It will work out for righteousness in your life. So that if, I love how that he's like, even put my name on it. Just put my name on it.
That's
you know,
great.
Then and God, we can put your name on this. Yes, because that's how much confidence we can have in following the Lord, that he's willing to put his sign, his name to our decisions in following him down his paths. Where are we at? Verse 4?
Verse 4. And before we start verse 4, it is interesting because the whole psalm so far, David has been talking to his reader about God. Now he's going to change how he's speaking here. He's going to start speaking from third person to first person, and he's going to start talking to the reader, go from the reader to God, and he ends up worshiping the Lord personally, talking to the Lord. Where in verse 4 he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David does this so much in the Psalms, where he is talking about, you know, pouring out his complaints before people, talking to God as if he's talking to somebody else, talking to people about him. And now he says, I'm talking to you, Jesus. I'm talking to you, Lord, Yahweh. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And here it's, you know, you go, the psalm seems to take a dark turn, doesn't it? First, we've got these green pastures. We've got still waters going on. And here, the scene flips. And it's interesting because as David was talking about the abundance of the Lord, now he speaks directly to the Lord and says, there is a valley of a shadow of death, where there should be fear present, but I will fear no evil. And why? Once again, he says, the shepherd, the great shepherd, the Lord Yahweh, he is with me.
You know, amen, Seth. Thank you for coming. I'm back. Sorry, gang. I had to do a quick battery change. Hey, you are with Pastor Seth and myself, Pastor Silas, on Hope for the Hour. We're coming to you live from Sandwich, Massachusetts, down on Cape Cod. We are of Calvary Chapel of Cape Cod. And you can call or text in your Bible question or prayer request at 508-901-9673. And we thank you for joining us tonight here on 88.3 down here, Renew FM. So here, I love how you brought that out, Seth. Like, there's this transition. It's almost, like you said, where David is making this declaration about him and the Lord being his shepherd and what that's like and how amazing it is. And as he's making his way through, it does all of a sudden here we see it transition to worship.
Absolutely.
It's amazing how the Lord will do that as you just enter into thinking about the Lord and considering his majesty and who he is. And then here David's considering that the Lord God is his shepherd and he's the sheep. And in pursuing that, rather than feeling oppressed or pushed down or ridiculed or mocked as a sheep, he realizes there's no other thing I'd rather be when he's the good shepherd. And this is why, because I get to this place where, man, sheep go through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, when we look at life in this world, you know, there is a lot of evil. There is a lot of darkness. There is a lot of things that are way out of our control, way stronger than us, way beyond our manipulating and fixing. Hmm. And that can be overwhelming. And so it seems that David is now being reminded in his heart of this place of a dark and fearful experience, maybe being on death's doorstep. I mean, he was there multiple times and sharing, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You are with me. I don't know about you, but I remember having a watershed moment in my life. And I've shared that this was actually one of the very first messages I ever shared on a Sunday morning. And it's Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. And then in Luke chapter 11, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, I'm going to send you out, check this out, as lambs amongst wolves. And my mind's like, oh, they don't stand a chance. Lambs against wolves? I mean, if it was a football game, lambs against wolves, or just put them in the ring and who's going to live the longest, I'm putting my money on the wolves.
Absolutely.
And yet Jesus says, no, with me as your shepherd, I put my money on you. You know, and so, you know, to have an awareness that wherever you are, whatever circumstance you're in, whatever darkness may fall upon your life, fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. It may feel in the circumstance like you are a lamb, the most vulnerable of sheep, not a ram, not a, what's a ewe? Is it a ewe lamb? I don't know. What's a girl sheep? I don't even know. But ram, girl sheep, lamb, a lamb, like you are the most vulnerable amongst the most vicious dog on the earth. And God says, fear not. Fear not, I am with you. I know if you, when you realize God is with you, that I've had moments where I've been in the moments where, am I going to follow the Lord? Or am I going to go the way of the wide path? Am I going to take the narrow, difficult path? Am I going to make a choice for Jesus? Or am I going to make a choice for myself? And the choice for Jesus takes courage. And the choice for self is very easy. And am I going to go that direction? And I find when I acknowledge the Lord's presence with me by his grace, I don't deserve it, but he promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In that moment, I say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. I'm amazed at how he will bring my anxiety down and he'll bring my courage up to go and follow him.
Well, you know, the point to all that I'm hearing some of what you're saying here, Silas, is that if you're walking with the Lord and he is your savior, you have no reason to fear even the shadow of death or even death itself. But what about for those that don't know Jesus yet, that don't have him? I mean, that can be a very fearful thing if you are that little lamb walking around without a shepherd. And it's not a doom and gloom thing. It's just a reality that, like you said, that lamb in the middle of the Colosseum with a whole bunch of wolves, without a king shepherd like the Lord and King Jesus, there's sure to be destruction, heartache, and a death.
Well, isn't that our prayer, Seth? Isn't that our desire?
It
that
is.
People would have revelation.
Yeah.
The revelation that we are just lambs. We are just sheep. We are vulnerable. We are fragile. We are living in a world that is very threatening to humanity, and having that revelation that Jesus is a savior, that Jesus is the good shepherd, as it says in John chapter 10, how Jesus says, I hold my sheep in my hand and nothing can snatch them out. You know, that is what the revelation that we hope people have. And literally, he came to this earth and became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The shepherd became the lamb to take away sin. The shepherd became the most vulnerable to die the death in our place as a sacrifice in our place so that we could have the gift of eternal life, so that we could have the gift of freedom and unhindered access to the good shepherd. And that's what we pray people would have revelation to and do what we talked about before, experience repentance.
Yes.
And have restoration. And experience life in Christ Jesus. Hey, we're going to be running out of time pretty quickly here. We just got about 6 minutes left. So if you've got a prayer request or Bible question, text, call 508-901-9673. Pastor Seth and I will do our best to bless you and serve you. So, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm going to end it with this because this is important, Seth, and you mentioned it quickly. It's the shadow of death. It doesn't have substance. Though I walked, you know what? Because of Christ and he resurrected from the dead and he conquered sin and death, and death has lost its sting, we know that we need not fear it. Because he says, where you follow me, you're going to follow me right into eternal life, and which is life beyond the grave, which is why this shows up at funerals all the time, right? Because it's the hope of eternal life. It's the hope of eternal love. It's a hope of being together again, worshiping our Lord Jesus together as him, as he continues to be the good shepherd and we his sheep in his pasture. But one of my favorite illustrations too struck me so hard is that Donald Gray Barnhouse, an old Bible teacher down in Philadelphia, his wife passed away and he was driving to the funeral with his girls in the car. How can I explain what's happened to mom in this situation? And he sees a big truck coming down the other direction and the shadows cast in front of the car as it comes towards them. And he says, right now, what would you rather do? Would you rather go through that shadow or would you rather me pull over and take the truck head on? And they said, oh, daddy, let's stay on this side. The shadow is not, it has no substance. We'll go right through it. The truck will kill us. And he says, that's what's happened to Mama. She's just gone through the valley of the shadow of death. She's just gone through something that no longer has substance because Jesus has conquered it. And if you're in Christ, it's just a shadow of death that you pass through when you die. And it's not taking the head-on truck collision of judgment of God because Jesus took the judgment for us. Amen.
It wouldn't be an hour of hope here if we didn't quote Spurgeon here. He said, yes. Nobody is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway even for a moment. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of death cannot destroy us, for those that are found in Christ Jesus.
Amen, amen. Hey, why does the Lord's rod and staff comfort us? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
We're all like sheep and we've gone astray, right? I mean, sheep tend to wander. They get lost. Sheep are also rebellious. I mean, this is us in a nutshell. We either wander away, we get distracted, but a rod and a staff, you know, the staff will have a crook on the end and it will bring us back. It was used by the shepherd to bring his sheep back into safety, take them out of a ditch if they're stuck, to bring them back, or to give them a little swat on the rear end and say, hey, you need to be back here. Why? Because I am your good shepherd. Anything you're looking for in those valleys, in those flourishing fields that you think are so good, all that green is nothing but poison. It'll hurt you. It'll harm you. The rod and the staff, God's word, his commands, Psalm 119, they comfort us because they keep us close to Jesus. Not because they keep us in line with all the rules, but they keep us close to the Lord.
Amen, amen. I just love how the Lord will use those because he can protect us from something trying to get us. Like sometimes you can give a wolf a good whack.
That's right.
Right? Other times we need a good little whack just because we're going to do something destructive to ourselves and we need to be redirected and taught the right direction. I love how even when I take the path that I shouldn't be taking, he doesn't just let me go. He'll correct me. He'll tap, you know, give me a little swat. Like, hey, where you going, Silas?
That's right.
What are you doing? I'm over here. Come this way. He doesn't just say, oh, find out for yourself. No, he continues to speak into my life. And I like also how the staff can be used to rescue. can be used for salvation. And I was just thinking about it today, like, if you ever gone to a pool with a lifeguard stand, you ever seen they have the long poles with the hook on the ends, you know, with a drowning person? That's just a long shepherd staff. That goes way back millennia now. That's not a new invention. That's been around for a while. And the shepherd used those to yank those little drowning sheep out of the pond if they needed to.
And if you're feeling alone right now, like you are insignificant and that nobody cares for you, can I just tell you that Jesus cares for you? Mm-hmm. He cares for you so much, and he told this story that he will leave the 99 sheep to go search out and search after you specifically. And if you're listening tonight, you're listening for a reason, that Jesus is reaching out and reaching with his staff and his rod and his heart because he loves you and cares for you. You are not insignificant.
Amen, amen. And so the effect, you know, of following the good shepherd, verse 5 continues to say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. So here, even in the presence of danger, there's a safety. There's an ability, you know, a lot of times when you're nervous, like, oh, you know, you're hungry. I'm not that hungry right now. I'm a little nervous about what's going on. And you know, I'm a little scared. You don't feel like eating. And here's the presence of enemies where you should be freaking out and instead have something to eat. Hey, let me anoint you. Let me pour your life into my, let's have your cup run over. This is all in the presence of enemies.
You know, David, his eyes are so fixated on the Savior that the presence of his enemies really means nothing to him.
And I got to wrap this up. We got about 30 seconds left. Last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love this. You follow Jesus. You're a sheep following Jesus in your wake. What's in your wake of your life? Goodness and mercy. I love that. There's just this goodness and mercy. And that will happen all the days of your life as you follow Jesus, and you will follow him right into his house forevermore. When he calls us to be with him face to face, so amazing. Our Lord loves us. He's a good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. There's no better place to be than following him. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening in your word. For all those who had prayer requests and just didn't call them in, Lord, bless them, be with them, answer their prayers and speak to them. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.